Now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, The Centrality of the Cross. I shall read from the book of Galatians chapter 6 at verse 14. Paul writes, But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Someone said to Spurgeon, All your sermons sound alike. To which he answered, Yes, I take my text anywhere in the Bible and make a beeline for the cross. And so from Galatians 6:14, I shall move directly to the cross. The cross is the heart of the gospel. The cross is the symbol of Christianity. It is the hallmark of the church. The cross is the sum and summation of all God has ever done for man and all that man has ever done against God. Who can scale its majestic heights? Who can fathom its measureless depths? Who can speak of its awful shame? Who can sing of its wonderful glory? The cross reveals three things, basically. One, it reveals the dedication of Christ's life. Two, it reveals the dimension of God's love. And three, it reveals the depth of man's sin. Sam Jones, the fiery Methodist evangelist, once said, and I quote, The cross is a symbol of God's heartbreak over a world gone astray. And how true it is. The cross is prominent in the Old Testament. It is seen in the Garden of Eden, where the Lamb was slain to cover the nakedness of our first parents. It is seen in the sacrifice offered by Abel when he worshipped God. It is seen in the ram caught in the thicket as a substitute for Isaac. It is seen in the Passover lamb in Egypt on the night of the Exodus. It is seen in the offering of the Levitical priesthood in the tabernacle in the wilderness. The cross is central in the New Testament. The cross was the message of John the Baptist from the waters of the Jordan when he cried, Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. It was the cross of Peter on the day of Pentecost when he showed them how that evil, sinful, wicked, vile men had taken Christ and had slain him and had hanged him upon a tree, whom God raised from the dead. It was the message of Paul on Mars Hill. Paul said to the Athenian intellectuals that day, The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he shall judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The cross was the message of Jesus himself. When he instituted the Lord's Supper, Jesus said, This is my body, and this is my blood. Take, eat, and drink. And then he added this note, This do in remembrance of me. The one and only thing that Jesus asked us to remember was his death on the cross. For you see, Jesus does not save by his supernatural birth. Jesus does not save by his beautiful life. He does not save by his divine teaching. He does not save by his magnificent miracles. The Lord Jesus saves by his sacrificial, substitutionary death on the tree. If there had been no cross, there would be no sacrifice for sin. There would be no pardon and no peace and no reconciliation. If there had been no cross, there would be no justification, no sanctification, and no remission of sin. If there had been no cross, there would be no regeneration, no redemption, and no forgiveness. Paul writes in Ephesians 1:7, In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. The cross was no afterthought with God. It was prearranged by God's wisdom. It was preordained by God's grace, and it was pre-scheduled by God's mercy. The eyes of the patriarchs, the prophets, and the priests were all focused upon the cross. Every book in the Bible anticipates the cross. Jesus was slain in the mind of God from the foundation of the world. Jesus himself said, "For this cause came I into the world." Consider Jesus and the cross. Jesus was born in Bethlehem's manger under the shadow of the cross. He played in the streets of Nazareth under the shadow of the cross. He attended the synagogues under the shadow of the cross. Jesus worked in Joseph's carpenter shop under the shadow of the cross. He was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River under the shadow of the cross. Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights under the shadow of the cross. He attended the wedding in Cana of Galilee, where he turned the water to wine, under the shadow of the cross. Jesus sailed the Sea of Galilee under the shadow of the cross. He performed the miracles of his ministry under the shadow of the cross. Jesus taught in the temple in Jerusalem under the shadow of the cross. He ate the Passover meal in the upper room under the shadow of the cross. He prayed in Gethsemane's garden under the shadow of the cross. He was arrested by the Roman soldiers under the shadow of the cross. He was tried by the Sanhedrin under the shadow of the cross. He stood before Herod and answered him not a word under the shadow of the cross. He was accused in Pilate's hall under the shadow of the cross. Then an amazing thing happened. The cross became a reality. No longer was there a shadow, for the shadow became a substance. And John says, "And he, bearing his cross, went forth to a place called Calvary." Oh, the wonder of the cross! No wonder Paul wrote, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." No wonder we sing, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride." No wonder we sing, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away." Mount Sinai had its burning bush, but it is not to be compared with Calvary's flaming sacrifice. Mount Horeb had its 10 commandments, but they are not to be compared with Calvary's law of love. Mount Moriah had its ram caught in a thicket, but it is not to be compared with Calvary's lamb for sinners slain. The cross is the intersection where God and man meet, not in justice but in mercy. The cross is the cornerstone of mankind's redemption. The cross is the watchtower of God's grace. The cross is the core of our Christian faith. And without the cross, we would have no message. Without the cross, we would have no experience of salvation. Without the cross, we would have no blessed hope. The cross is a fact of history. Around the year 30 AD, Jesus Christ, God's Son, suffered under Pontius Pilate. And 25 of the 89 chapters of the 4 gospel accounts tell the story. What do we see when we look at the cross? The Romans saw another helpless victim of empirical tyranny. The Greeks saw another blight on history. The Jews saw another false Messiah. One thief saw another criminal like himself. The other thief saw the just dying for the unjust. God saw his only begotten Son dying for the sins of the world. And when we look back over the corridors of time, by faith, we see our Savior bearing our sins in His own body on the tree. What really took place at the cross that day? At the cross, Christ put away sins by the sacrifice of Himself. At the cross, Christ passed through the valley of death. At the cross, Christ canceled our stupendous debt to the law of God. At the cross, Christ was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. At the cross, Christ reconciled a guilty world to a righteous God. At the cross, Christ opened the prison doors and set the captives free. At the cross, Christ made the supreme sacrifice for our sins. At the cross, Christ condemned sin forever. At the cross, He became our substitute, dying in our stead. At the cross, Christ tasted death for every man. At the cross, God emptied Himself and died in open shame. At the cross, God turned on His Son and poured out the vials of His wrath upon Him. At the cross, God darkened the sun and shook the earth. At the cross, God laid on Christ the iniquity of us all. At the cross, God made Christ to become sin that we might be saved. Paul put it this way, He who knew no sin was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. At the cross, love was spelled out in brilliant letters against a darkened sky. At the cross, the Lamb of God was slain without mercy at the hands of His enemies. At the cross, heaven's cameras bent low to capture earth's saddest scene. And at the cross, the grace of God turned a great tragedy into a great triumph. At the cross, all the sacrifices from Adam onward terminated in the one supreme sacrifice. At the cross, all human suffering finds its refuge in the Savior's wounds. At the cross, Satan was disarmed and sin met its conqueror. At the cross, the fires of Sinai were extinguished by the blood of Emmanuel. At the cross, the death sentence was commuted to life eternal. At the cross, the road to eternal life was paved and the door of heaven was opened. At the cross, I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. Who was at the cross that day? The gamblers were there. The soldiers were there. The spectators were there. His enemies were there. His friends were there. His mother was there. And you know, somehow I feel that I was there too. The poet put it this way. I see the crowd in Pilate's hall. I mark their wrathful mien. Their shouts of crucify appall with blasphemy between. And of that shouting multitude, I feel that I am one. And in that din of voices rude, I recognize my own. 'Twas I that shed the sacred blood. I nailed Him to the tree. I crucified the Son of God. I joined the mockery. Around the cross the throng I see, mocking the sufferer's groan. Yet still my voice it seems to be, as if I mocked alone. Can the cross be measured? No, 10,000 times no. If all the sorrow from creation till now were poured into one cup, it could not compare to the cup of Calvary. If all the floods from Noah to the mighty Mississippi were brought together, they could not compare to the flood of grief at the cross. If all the fires from Sinai to San Francisco were burned in one blazing inferno, they could not compare to the fire of God and the fire of His judgment at the cross. If all the wars fought from Abraham to Armageddon were staged in one fierce battle, it could not compare to the conflict of the cross. If all the darkness from Egypt to New York's blackout were concentrated into one cubicle, It could not compare to the darkness of the cross. If all the books written from Job to the latest off the press were combined in one volume, they could not tell the story of the cross. If all the paintings from Solomon to Picasso were hung in a gallery, they could not depict the anguish of the cross. But the seven last words from the parching lips of the Savior as he was hanging upon the tree tell the story better than any tongue or pen could tell it. First, there was the word of forgiveness. Jesus cried from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Then there was the word of assurance. Jesus said to the thief, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." Then came the word of devotion. Jesus said, "Woman," speaking to his mother, "behold thy son, and son, behold thy mother." Then came the word of despair. Jesus crying from the agony of his soul, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Then came the word of agony. Through parching lips he cried, "I thirst." Then the word of victory. Jesus said, "It is finished." Then came the word of confidence. Jesus said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." This is the centrality of the cross. The poet wrote, "They borrowed a bed to lay his head when Christ the Lord came down. They borrowed the ass in the mountain pass for him to ride to town. But the crown he wore and the cross he bore were his own. He borrowed the bread when the crowd he fed on the grassy mountainside. He borrowed the dish of broken fish with which he satisfied. But the crown he wore and the cross he bore were his own. He borrowed the ship in which to sit to teach the multitude. He borrowed the nest in which to rest. He had never a home so rude. But the crown he wore and the cross he bore were his own. He borrowed a room on the way to the tomb, the Passover lamb to eat. They borrowed the cave, for him a grave. They borrowed the winding sheet. But the crown he wore and the cross he bore were his own. The thorns on his head were worn in my stead. For me the Savior died. For guilt of my sin the nails drove in when him they crucified. Though the crown he wore and the cross he bore were his own, they rightly were mine. This is the centrality of the cross, Christ dying for you and me. Have you trusted him as your Savior? Have you anchored your faith in him? Have you confessed your sins? Do you know what the cross really means for you? Do you know that you can have the peace of God in your heart right now? Do you know that life eternal can be yours through Jesus Christ our Lord? Do you know that this very moment, wherever you are, you can be saved? You can pray the sinner's prayer, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And this moment, God will, for Christ's sake, forgive your sins and save your soul. I wish that you would do it right now. And I wish that you would write us this week and tell us about it. And let us know that you have trusted Christ as your Savior. And I hope that the cross has a new meaning for everyone who's heard this message today. And I believe that God is wanting right now to do something for your life. He wants to perform a miracle of salvation for you. Let him do it now, as you open the door of your heart and let Jesus Christ come in. So until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.